Welcome to the InReview.net podcast. I'm your host, Dan Vicker. For this, our second podcast, we sat down with Phil Keggy, one of the world's most prolific guitarists. Phil started his music career in 1968 at the age of 17. By 1972, he was playing shows to thousands of people every night as a member of the band Glass Heart. Phil Keggy at a Nashville hotel in April 2006, while a George Bush impersonator hung out with friends in the next suite. The interview starts very informally while talking about the microphone attached to my iPod.
I put a lot of my music ideas on an iPod with a mic and it looks great.
Yeah.
Well, I should ask, how has your music ideas changed in the last 30 years? No, like, you know, because you couldn't do that 30 years ago, you know?
No, you couldn't. Well, 30 years ago I had cassettes. Well, actually, did they have cassettes?
Yeah, true.
There were cassettes 30 years ago, but home I had my reel-to-reel. Then it went to cassette, which made it really easy to throw ideas down that way.
Yeah.
But I, Now I use a Palm for throwing ideas down. I use an iPod, or I'll just go down the studio and go directly into a high fidelity situation or a high quality situation and put the ideas down that way. Start from scratch with that there, which is cool because what I love about that is you capture the initial inspiration that ends up being the master itself. Rather than a song, sometimes a song should be worked, you know, and honed in craft, but if part of what you depend on delivering is something that feels of inspiration at the same time anyway, that's why a live, spontaneous thing has such an energy. And people who listen feel like they're kind of a part of that creation, that inspiration that's taking place at the very same time with you.
Yeah.
It works all sorts of ways, really. I mean, I just try to... I have no really guaranteed formula, obviously, because I only sell a few thousand units at a time, so... I've never been anywhere near platinum or gold, but I'm working and I'm paying my bills, so that's good news. Good news for modern caveman.
There you go. If you could go back and change one thing in the direction of what is known as today as Christian contemporary music, what would it be?
If I had the knowledge and brains I have today back when I was in my 20s. And I would have been a better businessman. I think I would have tried to make it so that I ended up with my catalog and not somebody else.
Yeah.
You know. But in terms of delivering my message or what has happened between me and my audiences over all these years, I don't really have any regrets. If anything, I wish I could have been a little bit more dangerous with where I went with it, and perhaps tried to reach out a little bit more to the world, because it was easy to be booked in Christian venues as a Christian artist for Christian audiences, you know. But because I started off in mainstream, started off playing, you know, clubs and the whole circuit, you know, opening for top name bands, you know, mainstream bands with my band. And but I really didn't know in my early 20s how to really continue on to be that kind of light in that kind of context. So I basically retreated from the world in a way back when I was 21, 22 and settled into a safe place I thought was safe. That eventually became a bit more of a comfort zone. And one time someone asked Edge from U2, have you ever heard of Phil Kagi? And this is something that I know because I know the guy that interviewed him, and he's very honest. And he said, Edge said, I've heard Phil Kagi, but I never understood why he was more dangerous with his music. Mm. And he could have meant the style or where I went with it. I've had a Christian booking agent, and I've been booked in churches 70-80% of the time since mm-hmm. the beginning, and so it's all safe, you know. And on the other hand, I tasted the other side too, and it's no party, you know. I mean, it's rigorous, it's grueling, just like it is no matter what touring. But by and large, it's my marriage is held together, my children love me, and I guess I have no regrets, because perhaps this is how it was really supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And I don't mind singing to the choir. The choir needs singing too once in a while. We all need a flame lit beneath us. People are people. Christians are... There are Christians with issues, and there are unbelievers with great qualities. You know what I'm saying? It's like people are people.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is upside turned down? Why are all these people running around? Why are the nations in a rage? And selfish dictators on the stage. Why is this planet hungry for war? Who has the right to shut the door on the poverty-stricken child I see? Why can't we help them, you and me? Why does the media glorify all the bad news? Turn a blind eye to things people do. You're asking me.
I'm asking you. WHY, why don't we lift our brother in humanity? WHY, can't we be loving more, living free?
Catalog, which is mostly out of print.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time finding all
most people
stuff,
are.
You know?
Yeah, most people have a hard time finding it. I've had people come up to me lately and say, I've heard of you, but I've never heard of your music, and I can't, or other people say, I just can't find your music anywhere. I said, well, you can try my website. They go to my website, and 70% of my albums that are listed there are out of print because the record companies own the masters, and they don't want to manufacture them because there's not enough demand and profit for them. So
somebody's making profit on eBay, though.
Yeah, I saw that. Some of my projects are are on sale for, you know, $40 a crack. You know,
wow.
In fact, I saw a single.
I paid a little bit, of almost that much for a couple things. But.
Yeah. I just don't understand why that has to be so. You know, like I said, I've developed to be a musician, but a terrible businessman. And this problem is self-perpetuated for some reason, you know. I just need to somehow... I've threatened to just get my own duplication machine and just duplicate my stuff and make it available to people. Write me, I'll send you a copy of it. You know, you can't find Sunday's Child, write me, I'll get you a copy. You know, with artwork and everything. But I just, with a daughter in college, you know, and you know, keeping up with the bills and everything, it's just hard to stop and make that investment right now. But yeah, it is a little frustrating, isn't it?
It is.
You find it to be frustrating?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I only started kind of listening to your music actually probably about when that self-titled album came out in like 99 or something. Mm-hmm. I was kind of just gotten started and listening to lots of music then. I was, you know, 18 or whatever, you know. So since then I've been trying to find a lot of stuff of yours, and I like how you guys re-released the Glass Harp albums recently, so I got to pick those up. And
I'm glad that's happened.
Yeah, so.
But my albums, What a Day Love Broke Through, Emerging, Underground.
Yeah, I don't have any of those.
Play Through Me, Flipside, Town to Town. All those albums between my first album and my 13th album, every one of those are out of print.
Yeah, yeah.
And and many
at a festival last year, there was somebody who had one of those. I think it was a 3-CD or a 2-CD set of, or 3-CD set of a couple albums there, and he wanted something like $45 or $50. One of the independent seller
guys. Paid
like,
for it?
No, I didn't pay for it that time because it didn't look like it was in very good condition either.
Yeah.
So I was like, no. But yeah, it'd be cool to have.
You started to say something, were you?
Sorry.
I forgot what you were saying.
Oh no, I.
The albums being out of print.
Well, they are, and it's because I imagine somebody would step up to the plate if they knew they could sell 100,000 units of them, but it's just a few people who know about me anyway, and you know, it's like supply and demand, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, you know, we live in a world where there's musical congestion everywhere anyway.
I like that, musical congestion.
Yeah.
That's a great description.
Yeah, it's definitely become the busy marketplace, and
there's a lot going on downstairs. Huh?
Yeah, I was just talking to somebody in the previous interview who said, yeah, Neil Morse, you know, the projects that he's produced back in the 70s would be considered, you know, monumental landmark achievements, you know, but today it's no big deal, you know, with the amount of talent that's out there and competition and the whole thing. Like I said to a friend, I said, I mean, with my talent, what I have today, if I had my talent, but it would be impossible for me to even get my shoe in the door. But I got established early on. At least, you know, mm-hmm. I've got this. You know, at least if you've run the race, you know, for like myself, I've been on tour since '67, which is 39 years. And, I mean, I got established early on. That's why I'm begging my booking agent, please don't send me out too much, you know, but she books me a lot. And so I travel the country a lot, back and forth on planes, and which is something I don't want to do. I want to find a way to make a living without traveling so much. You know, it's got to slow down someday. And but I want to be creative in the studio. I love making music. I love working with people. And that's one of the things I'd like to continue to do.
This next question. With your long-standing career in the music business, do you ever become jaded?
Yeah, I fight being that, you know.
Yeah, how do you stay, or how do you try to get away from being jaded?
Read about world poverty, or read about some of the things that Compassion is doing. You know, where it's about the kids instead of us and our restless views of the music business. I feel sorry for these people who have taken advantage of artists and writers over all the years and given them a real sour deal while making them think they were getting a great deal at the beginning. Because, you know, it's like almost like, here, try this, you know, here, take this advance. You know, and they go, wow, thank you. You know, I got a deal.
Yeah.
I got some money. I'm going to go buy a car. I'm going to get some equipment, you know, and only to find out that the big budget that was spent on their project is getting paid back by their small percentage of royalties. It's them paying back the budget, not the record company. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the budget is eventually paid back, if they sell enough, then they end up owning the masters anyway. My main beef with the CCM industry is that they have basically adopted the practices of the world and the lack of ethics that have been laid down by the companies that took their cue from what I've heard. It's like the underworld, you know, the logic and the percentages and the...
Mm-hmm.
But young artists don't realize that. Nobody tells them that. I wish I would have had somebody say to me, do you realize that when you sign that dotted line, this is what you are really giving up in the long run?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why it's better to be an independent artist now than to sign your music and your masters away. You know, it doesn't have to be that way anymore because it's a new time. It's a new time. And those old systems will die. You know, they will go.
Yeah.
And they will
fail.
Manager.
Hello?
Hello?
Thank you for today. I am grateful for today is all I have. Thank you for today. I am grateful for today is all I have. Past is much too heavy for me to carry. If I hold on to it for too long, you know it will crush me. The future's far too fragile for me to worry. And if I hold on to it for too long, you know it will rush me. Right now is where you live, and right now is where I want to live. Thank you for today. I am grateful for today is all I have. Yes, thank you for today. I am grateful for today is all I have. I am a fool, I play the fool. If I stay in that place for too long, dreams surrender to regret. In the future I'm a clown, a selfish clown. If I stay in that place for too long, to love another I neglect. Now there is no temptation. Right now there is only faith. Thank you for today. I am grateful for today is all I have. Thank you for today. I am grateful for today is all.
After a quick phone call with his manager, Phil Keggy jumps back into the discussion of record labels and new artists.
Practices, you know, that some artists wouldn't be known anyway. They wouldn't have had longevity. But it just seems that it was all figured out to be to the record company's advantage anyway, and not to the artist in the long run. And they could have just at least gone 50-50. I mean, let's do it this way. Let's work together until it doesn't sell anymore. And once the project is paid for and it's out of print, and then we give you, you know, we'll sell back the master to you for $5, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, that
kind
of thing.
That's a great idea.
But what used to be your songs that came out of your heart, well, these, some of these writers, they wrote some of these, some of this music with tears in their eyes, you know, their hearts breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And those songs end up becoming assets. Now, I don't know why I'm on a soapbox about this, but I guess because it's GMA, someone's
well, I asked a bunch of questions.
So someone's got to address it. No one's addressing it. Are they?
Yeah.
Anybody addressing these issues?
And that's why I see, because our website, our theme is a different approach to music, so we sometimes tend to ask different kinds of questions, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't expect to win any points with anybody. Just, you know.
Let's talk about your music. Tell us about your upcoming release, Jammed.
It's like a, it's a little detour. It's kind of like a little, like a deviation in the road. It's like driving down the interstate, you know. It's like driving down the road of life, and said, why not Dairy Queen? I haven't had one in a long time. Let's get a banana split. You know, it's basically that. It's not going to really feed your body, but it's going to be fun to listen to for a little bit. And it may keep you going a little bit for those extra miles driving late at night. It shows some fun camaraderie between musicians. You know, it's an interim little thing. It's what's being put out to possibly pacify those who are saying, does Phil still play the electric anymore? You know, there's a bit of that going on in it until I get back to making the kind of albums that basically where my heart's at, you know, what I want to sing about, and which is what I'm doing now. I'm working on a vocal album. And hopefully this vocal album will be songs that people really can appreciate and touches them. Because I'm kind of a softie, really, at heart. I might talk, you know, jaded, but I'm actually a big old softie. That's my kids. But, yeah, that's what I'm working on. I mean, I also did an instrumental project last fall that I really think is beautiful. Came out good, really nice production, nice instrumentation. But that's kind of being held in the can for a while.
Mm.
And Jammed is just, it's just kind of a fun little thing. It has no message whatsoever.
It's just
what it is, you know. I always, because I know it's being marketed to Christian bookstores, and I don't know what to tell them. I say, you know, I don't know what you're expecting from this, but it's not a thing you're going to put on for devotions, you know. Maybe I still have a mindset that Christian bookstores are about perpetuating the gospel. You know,
most are.
Huh?
I think most are,
yeah.
You know, but you still see some of those bands that, you know, don't really have all that of their point in the music section, though. I don't know. But
yeah, well, it's like, I'm really a, as a guitar player, I'm kind of a mainstream guy, but I don't have a reputation, or I don't have an outlet for it there. I'm not, you know, I've never been marketed there, except the early glass harp stuff, which was Decca, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even back then, my part of it was very Christian, lyrically, you know, because I was a young, real zealous Christian.
Are all the other guys in glass harp Christians?
They
also?
Are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Every one of them.
That's what I thought.
All three of those are.
Yeah, some of my favorites are still the some of the jams that came out with Crimson and Blue, and
just
that album, great album.
Yeah, did you hear that on Premium Jams?
Yeah, I have the Premium Jams album.
See, well, Jams is basically some of Premium Jams edited.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
You know?
That's what I thought I heard, something like that.
I mean, we threw it together in 2 days. Dan Hussing of Tag Distribution. He came over and goes, I got an idea, Phil. People want to hear you play your electric. Let's put together a little thing, and I'll manufacture, you know, a couple thousand and get it out. And I said, why? He said, well, you know, Premium Jams was never officially released commercially.
Okay. Yeah, you can only get it on your website, really. So
to everybody...
It's got a fun cover art, though.
I think so. Which one? Premium?
Yeah, the Premium Jams. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It looks like a bottle of jam, and it's got his face on the label and stuff like that. It looks really funny. Of course, when you do instrumental songs too, you can have fun with the title.
You know. You sure can.
Every single title in that album, that one almost had jam in it too. Different types of jam too.
So how do you know if instrumental music is Christian or non-Christian? You don't have to answer that out.
No, there's no such thing. There's only one Christian chord I've ever heard about, and it's G sus.
Oh, that's funny.
President told me that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, John Logan.
Okay. The guy next door?
Yeah. You know, there's only one Christian chord I know, and that's G sus.
Over the years, many people aspire to be the guitar, you know, play the guitar like you do. Is there someone out there that you aspire to, either musically or instrumentally or lyrically?
Well, you know, I'm pretty impressed with the way Rich Mullins wrote lyrics and Mark Hurd wrote lyrics.
Yeah.
I really appreciated Keith Green's passion. It's interesting how all three of them are gone from this world. Bob Dylan's talent for being avant-garde and dangerous and prolific, you know. Paul McCartney's sense of melody has always impressed me. Even though he was never that giant of a lyricist, but it seemed, you know, his presentation, the whole package seemed to make it work. I think I aspire to be more like people when I was younger. Now I just want to be myself.
Uh-huh.
And just, I take in a lot of things from around me, but I don't pinpoint anyone anything anymore. Just the overall inspiration that comes from various places, whether it's classical or jazz, or, you know, listening to something. And when you're younger, you just really pinpoint certain mentors. Now I just find within me a real reservoir of ideas that I like to just see come out in its own time and way. And I find that there's so much, there's an infinity, you know, of musical ideas in all of us, you know, that are musicians, you know, and I think that's really, really great. I think that's really great, but I think we're here to really make the world a better place and bring some hope, bring some cheer, bring some light, bring some love. And I was talking to this fellow from Random House. He's writing a book, and he interviewed me this morning. It was a very good interview, and he said there's these two guys who wanted to create a project, you know, but mainly on the red letters of, you know, the Jesus words only.
Right, right.
And they came to Nashville and presented to what they went to the Christian labels here, and they said, no thanks, you know. So they went to the guy that did Jesus Christ Superstar, and he went nuts over it. He loved it. So he's going to put it out in the mainstream.
Wow.
There's a guy going to put out the words of Jesus and done in a production situation, bring in the words of Jesus, you know, without the commentary, without the narrative.
Right, right.
Into the mainstream, just like Jesus Christ Superstar. And yet, they didn't think it was commercially viable here in the Christian market.
Wow.
I mean, who's to say what's viable? That's what irks me about the business of things. You know, I'm not viable. You know, once a management company in this town realized that they weren't going to make easy money off of me, that they just let me go. You know, and
wow.
They did us both a favor.
That's sad. I would consider you like a musical genius, but just me.
Well, but that doesn't always sell either.
I know.
Yeah. Well, poor Van Gogh. You know, he only sold one painting in his lifetime, and that was to his brother, Theo.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like
that's true.
You know. But I think, if anything, I hope someday the Christians take back the companies from the world, you know, from the EMIs and the BMGs and all the people that just look at artists' music as their assets and they return the music to the rightful owners. That's the soapbox I'm on this week.
That'd be great if that could happen.
It won't happen, though.
It'd be great if it could, though.
It would be great, it would.
Well, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah.
Been listening to an interview with Phil Keggy. Instrumental tracks throughout the podcast are from Phil's Jammed album. Both of the vocal tracks are from Phil Keggy's Dream Again, available in stores everywhere or online. Please check out philkeggy.com for more information on Phil, to view upcoming tour dates, and to purchase his latest CDs online. Thanks for listening to the InReview.net podcast. This podcast was recorded, produced, and hosted by myself, Dan Ficker. A special thanks to Kim Flanders, who organized and hosted the interview. Please visit InReview.net for more interviews, feature articles, in-depth CD reviews, discussions, and much more. And until the tape runs out, enjoy this jam. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.